If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on The Grave Talks, Dynamics of the Dead, a conversation with Nick Waskew. What started as a simple interest in the paranormal would end up leading Nick Waskew on a journey of understanding and communication with the dead. From recognizing that his home was infested with spirits to communicating with spirits at some of the darkest locations around, Nick wanted to help and better understand the dynamics of the dead. Today, we hear about Nick's one-on-one conversations with the dead and the questions he's had answered from beyond the grave.
Well, I love horror movies, and I remember, you know, I was watching Exorcist, and that was like the only movie that actually scared me, and I was like, wow, this is like fascinating stuff, and I've always had that interest since then. And then as far as when I started getting into it to actually start doing it, my ex and I, we were just, you know, looking for something to watch on TV. We put on My Ghost Story, which is a little different format than what they do on today's shows. It's not like, you know, a team that goes in and does the investigation. Mm-hmm. It was like real people that just, they're like, hey, this is my evidence. This is my story. And they told it and they provided whatever they had captured. Some of it was a little sketchy, but I mean, it was still an interesting show. And I'd look at this and be like, wow, that's pretty interesting. This would be something cool to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, let me just get a digital recorder and a video camera and let's just try it. And we went to a cemetery. That was the first spot we chose. And I'll never forget, my very first EVP was a voice that said, I'll kill them. So that was like a welcome to paranormal. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, 8-9 years later, where I thought all I needed was just a digital recorder and a video camera, you know, it's like, what, a couple $100. Now I have like thousands of dollars worth of equipment of every type of piece of tool. But the interesting thing is that I just keep going back to you know, the digital recorder. That's like my go-to, that and like a ghost box.
All you needed was a quick trip to Radio Shack in, 2004 and you would have been good.
Yeah, well, I've got the PSB-7, so... that's kind of like a relic these days. The stuff that we use today is I think it's more effective. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I've got an Emerson little hack radio that it doesn't look like much, but the responses that I've been getting on this is just incredible. And we pair that up with this device called an Angel Box, and it kind of clears out the radio stuff for the most part. Sometimes it'll sneak through and it'll give it a little bit of a reverb, but it gets like a nice clean sound. You don't have like that, you know, that like the SB7 or a lot of these other ghost boxes have. So having a nice clean sound is important to me because it's hard enough sometimes hearing these voices that you don't want that extra stuff. I mean, some people prefer, you know, that white noise type sound. Me, I'd like it clean. I can turn it on and not hear anything, mm-hmm. and then I'll just get a voice through, and it's like, wow, that's awesome.
Before you went on your you know, first ghost hunt, you know, with a piece of equipment or something, had you had any experiences yourself personally involving the paranormal at any point in your life? Or was it always just kind of an interest and a passion where you'd watch it on TV and you know, found that to be somewhere that your mind would gravitate?
It's always been an interest, but I think my first experience that I've had was when my grandmother had passed away, and it just happened so suddenly. I was on vacation in Ukraine. It was me, my mother, and my grandmother, and she came down with pneumonia, and we called in paramedics. Paramedics came in, and I'll never forget, they just took like a needle and gave her something that would, you know, thought that maybe that would help her, and all of a sudden her head just fell over, and that was it. It was like a lethal injection.
Yeah.
And that was it. She was gone. And you know, leading up to that, I would have this reoccurring dream that I'm losing my teeth. And then you know, when I looked up like the meaning of that, it was, you know, like a like loss and change and stuff like that. Once she passed away, I stopped having that dream. And then when I got back to the States, I was, you know, asleep. And I think it was like the first or second night I was back home. And I had this dream where I was in my room. I got out of my bed and I opened up the door and I saw her down the hallway, and she was just standing there, and she didn't say anything, and she didn't need to. But it was just like this comforting, like, I'm okay. So
when you had,
I mean, maybe that was, you know, my first interaction, because they can, you know, come communicate in spirits. I mean, yeah. In dreams. So I'd like to think that my first real genuine experience was, you know, from my grandmother.
Did you ever have any more encounters with her? Or was that just kind of the goodbye, where you had that experience in the dream where it just felt so real and you just knew that's her?
No, that was it.
Yeah.
And I haven't had anything. Well, you know, that's not true. I did have something happen many years later. I do have a haunting in my home, and we know exactly who it is. It started with weird things going on in the house all of a sudden. Like, and, you what? Know, as a paranormal investigator, sometimes you can inadvertently bring your work home.
Sure.
So weird things started happening, and being in this field as long as I have a Rolodex of mediums that I trust that I can go to mm-hmm. at any given point and just be like, hey, can you check something out, and they'll connect remotely.
So what were, when you say weird things were happening in the house, take us to that. What were some of the first things that happened that maybe you thought, well, maybe there's a reasonable explanation, but maybe things continued on and maybe there's not such a reasonable explanation? What were those things?
Well, I'd hear like sounds across the room, like tapping sounds. The dog would react in the middle of the night. He'll just get up and just start, you know, staring at something. We even had like a bag of treats that was just sitting out, and it almost sounded like someone was kind of crinkling it.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear things sometimes, you know, in my bedroom, I'll just take the camera phone and just snap photos, because that's just the investigator in me. And I've caught some weird things, mists and stuff like that. And then I've had my, you know, the mediums that I work with take a look at it and be like, oh, I see this person. Another thing, you know, I do these videos like on Facebook or YouTube, and sometimes I'll do a voiceover, and it's like every single time that I do a voiceover, I'll get these extra voices. And, you know, it's like, oh, you're doing great. You know, that's actually an EVP that I've got.
Like encouragement.
Yeah, it is. And it's just so crazy. It turns out when the medium connected, they connected directly to the spirits in the home. And there's three of them that are in my home.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is this girl named Karen. I don't want to say her last name because I don't want to get in, you know, any issues sure. off of it. But she's from Ohio. She got out of work. She was coming home to her parents' house. She had a child and she was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, when I found out about this, like 2 months earlier, after this was a cold case since the 70s, then the person that killed her was finally put on trial. Like, this whole trial is going on. So she's here and she doesn't want to leave. She doesn't mean any harm. She just minding her own business. My dad actually saw her.
She was murdered in the house?
No, she was murdered in Ohio.
Okay.
So, and I guess she ended up here.
Okay.
So my dad saw her in the house. He was watching TV and he kind of just looked over and there she was. And my dad's, you know, elderly. So he thought it was, you know, one of my friends or something. And, you know, he's like, oh, hello. And she didn't respond. He described her as maybe in her like early 30s and like a uniform. And she was just kind of rummaging through her purse. And the dog made a sound. He looked at the dog and looked up and she was gone. So when the medium connected, he basically described her the same way that my dad did. Researching, because I ended up getting a last name, you know, I was able to ID it that, you know, this was who was in the house. So she's the one spirit in here. I have a second one, which is this guy named Don, who was a neighbor from the medium that's on our team, Missy. She's from Long Island. And he was the neighbor that lived across the street. And I guess he was curious when I was talking with Missy that he decided to come and, you know, check out my house. Because Missy's a medium. She communicates with various spirits, including one of his buddies that lives in his house. Lives in her house, I should say. So one of the times, her best friend, Danny, who's a spirit in the house and who's the spirit in my house now, they came over and I guess Don and Karen met each other and then found romance in the afterlife. And then the final one is my grandmother. And the medium says it's this short, portly woman that she can't speak any English, which was basically her. And that just like fit exactly. And the interesting thing is that, you know, she can only speak Ukrainian, but the medium, Missy, that's in Long Island, that's on our team, she can speak Ukrainian and was able to communicate. So it's crazy, you know, what's going on out there.
Forgive me if I missed this part. How did Karen, who was murdered in Ohio, correct?
Yes.
How does she then connect back to your house? How did she get to your house?
That's a great question. And we've asked her and she says she doesn't remember. But I mean, we've investigated many places in Ohio. That is possible. She saw, oh, you know, they can communicate. Maybe I'll just follow them back. And she just kind of just stays here. She doesn't bother anybody. Because most times I don't even know that, you know, they're here, but they hang out in my space a lot.
When you were able to ID and get a last name, and I'm not asking for the last name, and you did, I'm assuming, a bit of research, were you able to find any connections back to Ohio or your property or anything in the area with this individual?
No, there was no connection at all to my house. She just, I guess, followed us back here and just stayed here and hung out because I'm assuming because we can communicate. And I can reach out to her at any point through a medium and, you know, have a conversation. Like, for instance, Travis, who's on our team, he's actually a special needs investigator. That's how badass he is. And he sees things. So I was doing a FaceTime video with him. And, you know, he's like, there's a girl that's sitting on your bed. So I'm like, okay. So I pan the room and he describes her to me. It's this woman who's wearing this, like, gown. And, you know, when I started panning the room more, he saw Karen yelling at her and they actually got into like an argument and she was trying to get this spirit to leave. So they're kind of very territorial to protect us. You know, we let Karen know, you know, we're fine. She's here. She doesn't bother anybody. And in return, she kind of just keeps some of these spirits out.
Wow. Tell me more about how you went about discovering, and this is an interesting concept. I've heard concepts on the air before of spirits that had no relation in the living world, where mm-hmm. they kind of come together almost as a family unit on another side, almost being parental towards some children. It's not their biological children, but they all kind of look out for each other as a family unit on the other side. But I've not heard specifically, interestingly enough, of the romance occurring on the other side, like you had mentioned about Don and Karen. So
I know.
Take me to how you've learned that and came to that conclusion and walk us through that area.
Well, and everything is, of course, through a medium.
Sure.
And, we would have check-ins, to make sure everything's, cool with them, that there's nothing going on. Like sometimes, like for instance, when Travis saw the girl behind my back sitting on the bed, we had to contact the medium and have them check in and stuff like that. And then they'll be like, oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Just go on about what you're doing. But Missy, who's the, on our team, she's the medium that kind of connects everything, puts everything into place. Mm-hmm. She knew Don and when he was alive. He sadly overdosed. And so, she would check in with him and, she would talk to Karen and then she would, I guess, hear them talking sweet to each other. And that's when she was able to put two and two together that, that they're a couple. Interestingly enough, Karen's birthday, I believe, is on August 1st and his is August 2nd. So now every August 1st and August 2nd, I'll get a playlist of their favorite music and I'll play it for them to kind of, celebrate them. So, Karen, I found out, likes a lot of Deep Purple and Don likes a lot of Beatles, stuff like that. And, we'll dedicate a day for them and they appreciate it. And I'll just hang out, vibing and listening to their music.
How did you go about finding what sort of music they liked?
Because I had Missy ask them.
Okay. How interesting. I mean, I'm assuming when you have an atmosphere like that and you're playing to it. You're helping them. You're recognizing them as being people, not this something that's here. And you're treating them more, with respect and as if they are there because they are there. They're just not being seen. When one does that then increase the amount that you end up hearing from them or sensing them or their presence becomes known because you're all kind of at peace together?
No, I really don't see any uptick in any type of activity. We can go weeks without something happening. Mm-hmm. And then, we have I have a little camera in my room and it detects motion. Mm-hmm. And one time we caught the shadow that was kind of moving in one part of the room. So I showed it to Missy and Missy says, oh, that's just Don. So the way that it looks like a shadow to me, she can identify it as who it is. She can sometimes see a mist and get a male or a female vibe off of it.
Okay. I want to talk about what you had mentioned where you said, you have a Rolodex of people you can just pull up and psychics, mediums, things of that nature. Totally understandable. What I'm finding fascinating as obviously technology evolves and we have new ways of communicating in the last 5-10 years that we did not have in the past is, and I guess especially during these times we're in right now with COVID and such, the ability of psychics or mediums or investigators, I've seen demonologists, all of that, where one can almost hold an investigation or do some sort of communication with the other side remotely, where a psychic mm-hmm. can be there pulled up on a tablet and have almost just as much ability as they would if they were sitting next to you physically. That to me is kind of a concept where it's like, I never thought of that. And you almost kind of have some hesitation with it going, how is that possible? And I know it's all conjecture and it's just opinions and what people believe and what they feel about this. But what was your thoughts on that when that started to kind of be a thing versus the individuals physically being there to be able to pick those things up?
Well, I mean, honestly, for me, the mediums that I've encountered for the last several years, up until maybe 2-3 years ago, mm-hmm. I really wasn't putting much stock into mediums and abilities and stuff.
Sure.
Missy had her abilities. She's really incredible, but she shut herself down. And, you know, she's in Long Island. She contacted me in New Jersey and said, hey, I want to confirm that my best friend Danny is in the house. So we were able to do the investigation. And from there, I met her son, Jason. And Jason, at the time, was 12. Mm-hmm. And after that investigation, Jason reached out to me. He's like, you know, this is going to sound weird, but you were here investigating, you know, my house. And I just want you to know that I can see spirits and stuff like that. And, you know, I talked to, you know, Danny, who's the best friend. And, you know, I was like, all right, well, let me hear him out and see what he says. And he's like, all right, well, Danny sees that you're at work, you're wearing this color shirt. And, you know, you have this mug that's in the bottom left of your drawer. And he would say stuff like this that would just blow my mind. Like, it really opened me up. Like, this 12-year-old put all this faith that, you know, there's some legit mediums that are out there. And he was still coming into his own. And he's still learning. Fast forward to today, my team, East Coast Spirit Chasers, we are so fortunate that we have the talent that we have on the team. Other, you know, besides Missy, we've got CJ, who's 18, and his abilities are really starting to come into his own. And then we have Terry, who's kind of like a human EMF detector. And she just recently just had this spiritual awakening that she's opening up. And between the three of them now, they're so connected that if one feels something, the other two feel it. Like, they'll wake up in the morning and be like, you know, something's going on with my back. Are you guys feeling it too? And they'll be like, yeah, something, you know, and they compare notes that way. Mm-hmm. So now they can look at a photo and start reading it. And when you're on an investigation, when you have multiple people that can see things and multiple people validated, it's just absolutely incredible. When we do dark cases, we have a shaman that's our go-to. It's this guy named Fernando in Arizona, and he's a mystery because all I know is his name's Fernando. He likes Corona beer, and he's in Arizona. And I was put in touch with him through my friend Donna, who's also a medium. And now Fernando does all our dark cases. And, you know, he's taken, like, dark things out of homes, and where to the point where the homeowner can come in and just, it's a completely different feeling. And he's doing this from Arizona. And, you know, the area that we cover as far as client cases, it's New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania. We'll go into Connecticut if need be, depending on, you know, just how far, but we usually stay in, you know, that general vicinity. So connecting from basically anywhere, if you have abilities, depending on how skilled you are, you can do this anywhere. If we go on Facebook Live, because we do that a lot from locations that we do, Missy will usually come on the Facebook Live because she can't make a lot of the investigations, and she'll put her reads in the chat. And she'll be like, I see somebody standing, you know, next to Dave over here, and he looks like this, and he's doing this. And even though she can't make all investigations, you know, she's still contributing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as far as ability-wise, not everybody can do it, but a lot of people can.
Yeah. It's just fascinating. And I have a few more questions about that we'll get to in just a little bit. I want to ask about the home a little bit more. How do you think, and what's your opinion, how did all these spirits end up at your home? Is this something that you think they came along with you, or you picked them up along throughout your journey of investigating? Is your home just kind of a hot spot? Are you just more sensitive to some of these things? What do you think it is as to why there's so many in this condensed location?
I think Karen kind of just saw us somewhere and followed us. because there'd be that option to communicate. Don came from Missy's area. Don and Danny, which was the best friend. I'm actually friends with Danny in the afterlife. You know, like I can actually have conversations with him about stuff. And of course, being the investigator I am, I've asked everything you can possibly imagine as far as the afterlife goes. And that's why I'm actually starting to write a book. So I'm looking forward to putting all this stuff out there because it's going to blow people's minds. Like, I think it's like a game changer that I can get legit answers. And with the position that I'm in, that I can actually ask multiple spirits through mediums, I've been able to ask the same question to a few different ones and gotten, you know, the same or similar type responses. So, you know, it's like what I have going on is very unusual. And being so passionate about the field that I'm in is amazing. And my grandmother's here because I think it's just because it's us. So she's just keeping an eye on us. It's really, I think, just the draw that we can communicate to spirits. We're a very active team. In the COVID world of 2020, we did over 20 new locations, plus places we've gone to again for multiple visits and client cases. So the COVID hasn't stopped us. We've always been active. It's just nonstop. Like, we'll be lucky if we get maybe like 3 weeks where we're like, all right, let's unwind for a little bit. But then we'll go like maybe have back-to-back investigations. Or we'll go and do a whole week. Like we recently went out to Tennessee. We went out to Virginia. And what was the other state that we went out to? I forget what it was. But we hit three different states, all kinds of locations. Every night we were at a new location. And, you know, last year we went out to Savannah and hit up all those spots. And, you know, it's just, we're just having a lot of fun right now.
When you realized you kind of had this open communication line with Danny through the mediums that you work with, where you could ask these questions, what, give me a couple of them that were on the top of your list that you wanted to ask the dead.
Well, I don't want to reveal too much, but I'll put this out there, which I think is really fascinating. And this is a theory that Dave Legender, he's on our team, and myself came up with. So when I spoke to Danny, I asked him, you know, what does it look like that you see? And he's like, I see in like darkness or black and white. So that's what I thought that you see in the afterlife is everything, you know, the color is gone. And then from then on, you know, maybe like a year and a half after, we had a friend pass away. And I had, you know, Missy ended up having communication with the friend. And something told me, I said, well, let me ask what she sees it in. And she said, well, I see it in color. And then all of a sudden that kind of was like, wait a minute, why is one person seeing black and white? Why is another person seeing in color? So we started looking at different options as to what would cause this. We looked at the way that they died. You know, could it be suicide? Could it be murder? You know, we looked at a bunch of different things. And then, you know, Dave came up with, well, maybe it's faith in God. And so I asked Danny, I was like, were you religious? Did you believe in God? He's like, not really. And then we asked, you know, our friend Jay, who had passed away, and she said, yeah, I absolutely believed in God. So, you know, it's insane that your faith plays such a huge part in the afterlife. You know, you have the color and then you have the black and white depending on your faith. The interesting thing that I found out, though, is that when they had passed away, they had an option to continue or they would just linger behind. And that's why they didn't see God when they had passed away.
Now that they're there, though, and they are in this plane, did their continues run out? Almost like a video game. You miss the moment to put your quarters back in and continue forward. Or does that still exist for them?
Well, not necessarily. There's always a way to go back.
Okay.
If we try to cross a spirit over, if we use a medium or a shaman to do that, even in the afterlife, after they've kind of missed their opportunity, there's still that way to cross over. And there's been a lot of situations like that, that we normally don't do that because, you know, spirits, I mean, that's on them to whatever path they chose, if they choose to stay or not. But we've also been on investigations where you have a spirit that's being abused by another spirit, bullied. Like, for example, the Gettysburg Orphanage, there was a Rosa Carmichael there. She was, you know, this really abusive woman that kind of treated the kids poorly. And there was one of the spirits there was this girl named Isabella. And, you know, Terry and CJ both got this connection with her. And Terry was just set on, you know, helping Isabella out and getting her out of this situation. So we contacted Fernando and we said, is there anything that we can do that can, you know, help Isabella out? And he connected to the location and he was able to cross her over, and it pissed off Rosa. And there was another guy there, another dark spirit that was kind of oppressing a lot of the kids there, but Isabella was able to cross out of there. And since then, she's kind of taken to being CJ's spirit guide almost. And she'll come through on other investigations now. Like, you know, we'll get like her name come up on the Ovilus, or we'll have her name come through on a ghost box, or sometimes he'll feel like she's holding his hand. Missy can sometimes see her on a live feed standing there next to him. So it's the stuff that I'm going to tell you in the book is going to blow your mind.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Nick Waskiw. In part two, do spirits require human intervention to help them cross over if they did not take their first opportunity to move on? What has been one of the darkest cases that Nick has worked on? Has Nick ever felt threatened or in danger at any of these dark cases? What does someone do remotely to move dark things or spirits or entities out of a location? And how do the dynamics and relationships on a paranormal team affect an investigation? All of that and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up to become one at patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click become a Gravekeeper. Your support is what keeps our show on the air, and we greatly, greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.